So we're working in the Gospel of Matthew, focusing on things that Jesus says, that Jesus teaches. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Now last week we saw how towards the end of chapter 6, Jesus sets before his disciples several either-ors. We talked about them as forks in the road. And all of us come to situations in our life where we have to choose a direction. And in choosing, there are things that are not chosen. Things that will be left behind because of the choice. Things that will be forsaken. Things that will be not sought because of the choice. And of course, in choosing, there's other things that are embraced. Things that are pursued. Things that are served. And one of those either-ors, one of those forks that Jesus sets before his disciples is you can't worry about everything. You can't seek everything. You can't worry both about your own earthly stuff and about the Lord's heavenly stuff. You can't worry about both. It's either or. And Jesus tells his own followers, don't be anxious about your own earthly stuff. Don't be anxious about what you'll eat. Don't be anxious about what you'll drink. Don't be anxious about your clothes or what you'll put on. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about that. Jesus tells his followers not to seek the things that they need for everyday life. And he tells his disciples in a very well-known verse that he wants them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to let the earthly things that they need be added to them. I'd like to do something very simple today. We might even be short, which I'm sure won't bother David. I want us to consider having a life where things that are needed for everyday life are present, that they're had by you or by me or by us. Things needed for everyday life are present because they've been added to us. Because they've been added to you. So what's it like to have a life where things that you need for everyday living have been added to you? That's how you got them. Is there any difference in a life that if asked about the earthly things that are present and are needed, is there any difference if I ask you, how did you get that? You know, how'd you get that stuff to eat? How'd you get that stuff to drink? How'd you get those clothes to put on? Is there any difference if your answer is, I got the stuff by seeking it. That's how I got it. Versus if you're able to answer, it was added to me. Things were added. That's how I got them. That's why they're present. What's the difference in those two lives? I got it by seeking it. I got it because it was added to me. So all I want to do is consider very simply that perhaps just that one verse known to all of us, I'm sure, of what is a life like where things that are needed for everyday life, Jesus says, they will be added to those who seek first the kingdom. So we'll read the text again just to set it before us in Matthew 6. This is kind of the close of the chapter, so we'll put it up there. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink? Or what we wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So anyone who heeds Jesus' words here, any disciple who heeds what he says here, when they encounter the fork to seek either things of their own life, earthly things, or things of the kingdom, that person will choose the kingdom side of the fork. That would be heeding Jesus' words. I'm going to seek the kingdom. That person who chooses that fork is going to set, you know, his or her mind on things above, set their desire on things above. They're going to pursue heavenly things. They're going to pursue the righteousness of God. However, those who choose to seek the kingdom, those who choose to seek the righteousness of God, they still live on earth. Jesus knows that. Jesus does not deny, he does not diminish the fact that his disciples live on the earth. And he recognizes that his disciples need the things of earth in order to live there. They need food and clothes and shelter. He recognizes that. Jesus also knows that many people, because they live on the earth, and because they need earthly things, set their mind on what they need. They need to eat, they need to drink, they need to have a roof over their head. So they eagerly seek those things. Jesus knows there's many people who live like that. They have goals, they have strategies, they have plans, they have pursuits, they have government programs, they have all kinds of things in order to acquire, to secure things that they need for their earthly life. But Jesus' disciples, though they still need earthly things, are not to seek them, even though many do. Rather, Jesus' disciples are told to consider the birds and the lifestyle of birds. Jesus' disciples are told to look at flowers and the way that the flowers get their glory. And Jesus gives his disciples his word that if they seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God, that earthly things will be added. I think that means that all of us should know the experience in our lives of needed earthly things being added to us. All of us should know what that looks like and feels like in experience to have earthly things that we need added to us. So I want to think for just a few moments about what that is like. If I stopped you, have you ever experienced anything being added to you? Anything that you need? Has it ever just been added to you? Like it says there in the Bible that it will happen. Has that ever happened to you? You know, do you have any stories that you could tell? Well, yeah, I got a story of something that got added to me. So I want us to think just for a few minutes of what that's like. To know the experience of needed earthly things being added. First point is a rather obvious one. If earthly things are added, if earthly things are in addition, then there must be some other things besides earthly things. So if I could poke around in your life, and by poking around in your life, all I can find are earthly things. All I can find are needed earthly things. You know, I poke around in your life and I find food, and I find shelter, and I find clothes, and I find drink. So I can find all that, but I can't find anything else. I would know that those things that I found are not added to you, because there's nothing to add them to. Right? It's all there is. They're not in addition to anything because there's nothing to add them to. Needed earthly things can only be added where kingdom things are already present. And none of us will ever know the experience of having earthly things added if we have no other things. One of the experiences I probably will literally never forget I was in front of a group, maybe none of you were there, but I was in front of a group and I was teaching. I made a list of earthly things, though I didn't call it that. I just, you know, a list of things that are important or that we're involved in or that we do or that we need. I made a list of earthly things. And I wanted to get the list out in front of us first, and then I wanted to ask the question, so how many of the things on the list, are they earthly things or are they kingdom things? And everything that I put on the list, it was all an earthly thing. It was just this list of eat, drink, and clothes on steroids, you know, just a little bit fuller edition, but that's all that was on the list. And I'll never forget, after I got the list, some guy in the audience, what else is there? When I was starting to ask. So from his perspective, I had just listed everything. Well, I didn't say at the time, but I knew those things are definitely not added, at least to him. Because he doesn't have any other things. They're not in addition to anything. This is the whole shebang. So the first point's rather obvious, that to know the experience of earthly things being added, they have to have other things. And I think for some, that's the issue. They don't know that experience of things being added because they don't have any kingdom things. So there got to be some other things. And these things then get tacked on. And the added word is a great translation. Other places where this word is used in the scripture, it's very much in addition to, furthermore, besides this, there's also this type of idea. So it's a neat kind of word. It definitely means, you know, something else besides what's already there. But suppose that you do have some kingdom things in your life. So you have some other things. If you have kingdom things in your life, you still need earthly things. And what might the experience of having those earthly things added to you look like? I just want to consider that. So how about this? If the things are added, who does the adding? Do you do it yourself, or is it done by another? What's the answer to that question?
By another, by God.
Okay, you don't do it yourself. These aren't things that you add yourself. They're added by another. And who's the another? God, right? So it's the Father who says, I'll take care of that. I'll add that to you. So the experience of things being added does not mean doing something additional yourself. It's not like a couple extra points on your job description down at the bottom of other things that you also have to do. Doesn't mean that. Rather, it means receiving something from another. It's like if we're doing a barbecue and I'll bring the meat and Linda says, I'll add something. I'll add the salad. So then I don't have to worry about the salad because Linda's adding it. It's done by another. So it means receiving something from another. I think having things added, having earthly things added, means learning to live life as gift rather than as product. Life is not something not something I make. Oh, I see you made a good life for yourself. Rather, to have things added means you've learned to live kind of on the receiving end, you've learned to live life as a gift. Life is something you receive, not something you make. It's something that's given by another, supplied by another. And of course, the another is the Father. So it's things that you possess not by your own hand, but by the Father's hand. He gave them. You receive them. And life as gift, learn to live that way, means that your life is like birds. Because birds live by what is given. Not for the birds, like the birds. Okay, that your life is like the bird. Because the birds live by what's given. They're content to live by what is given. And they enjoy living by what is given. I mean, sparrows might sometimes go hungry. I suppose sparrows might even starve. I don't think that's the point. But they live their life as a gift from God. And God provides for them because they have worth before them, before Him. And they are content with that. They are content with what God gives. So if you live life as a gift, you find that your life is the birds and their lifestyle. You live by what's given. And living life as a gift also means that you're like the flowers. That life has a beauty and has a glory that is given. That saying, great verse, that not even Solomon in all his glory arrayed himself like one of these, the these being the lily. Perhaps that means that the lily has like a greater beauty and a greater glory than Solomon even all decked out. It perhaps means that can't even Solomon in all his beauty and glory can't match the simple lily of the field. I think it also means, though, that the beauty and the glory that the lily has is of a different kind. Not just greater, but of a different kind. It's a different kind of beauty, a different kind of glory. I mean, Solomon built and assembled his. I mean, he probably owned the garment district. And he manufactured it. He had probably a whole slew of designers and a bunch of tailors, and they manufactured it. And it was indeed impressive. It was beautiful, and it had glory to it. But he built it. He manufactured it. Lilies get it given. Well, lilies don't have a design shop with various patterns laid out for different lily patterns. They just get given it. The beauty that they have is simply that it's a beauty, it's a glory that's just given by the Creator to the flower. And I think life learned to be lived as a gift with respect to needed earthly things. It has a lily kind of glory to it. Not a Solomon kind of glory. It's not the glory of achievement. Achievement does have some glory, but lilies don't have a glory of achievement. It's just the glory of blessing. It's just how God has arrayed the lily. And so life lived as a gift, when things just get added, it's a lily-like kind of beauty to it. It's a lily-like kind of glory. It's just what God has given. I think our earthly lives should have an aura around them of gifts God has given. That when you experience your own earthly things, when other people experience you living amidst all the earthly things, things again that are needed, that the aura about them should not be of an aura of achievement. An aura of something that you have wrought. We talk that way sometimes. Oh, look at Mary has done well for herself. Okay, if Mary did it all, that's a Solomon kind of glory. Wise, capable, wealthy, put it together, did well for himself. But that's not what the lily says. The lily doesn't do well for itself. The lily has a sense about it that God has provided this beauty, this glory for me. So I think our lives should have about it kind of an aura, a sense, not of achievement, of something that you or I have wrought, or something that we put together, something where we did well for ourselves, but it has a sense of, wow, God's provided for you, hasn't He? He's cared for you. I want to encourage us all to fight the perspective that you will only possess what you seek. I think our culture teaches us that you will only possess what you actually seek. That perspective that says nobody's going to just give it to you. If you want it, you better go after it. That perspective, if you don't, nobody else is going to hand it to you, nobody else is going to give it to you. I mean, if you need those things, you want those things, well, you better make a plan, you better pursue them, you better go after it. I want to encourage us to fight that perspective. Because that perspective that says, The only things that you can get are things that are sought by you, forgets about the possibility of something just being added by another. So I think we should all know the experience that what others get by maximum effort and by maximum pursuit, by long pursuit, that's how they got it. They put forth maximum effort and they pursued it for a long time. They sought it hard. And they said, so how did you get yours? And you say, well, mine was added to me by my father. So I got mine a different way. It has a different feel to it. I also want to just emphasize, not seeking earthly things does not mean earthly things are not enjoyed. If you're a good Calvinist, it's sometimes supposed to mean that. That because you're not supposed to seek them, you're not supposed to enjoy them. So if you're enjoying them, you need to be solemn if you're a Calvinist. Stern. And so if you're enjoying earthly things, that's suspect. But I don't think not seeking earthly things means not enjoying them. That which the Father adds can be enjoyed. That which the Father adds should be enjoyed. In fact, I actually think the enjoyment of the earthly thing can be greater if the Father's added it than if you sought it yourself. Because if you seek it, there's always the seeking brings anxiety, right? Brings care and worry. Will I make it? Will I get it? Will I attain it? And then after you have it, will I lose it? Will it go off the fiscal cliff? But it can be enjoyed when it's a gift. Not only because the thing itself is just good and because it's needed, but also precisely because it was given, because it's a gift. I mean, there's lots of wives who probably have a credit card. They could go get themselves flowers. But it's more enjoyable if the flowers are given as a gift, right? And part of the enjoyment of the thing becomes it was a gift given. So I think if the Father adds something to you, you say, I needed that, and I enjoy it for what it is. But also part of the enjoyment is that, wow, the Father gave it to me, added it to me. So I think, in that sense, I think Christians should enjoy earth more than anybody else. Not because we sought them, but because our Father created them, number one, and then just added them to us according to our need, number two. So I just want to underline that point that, you know, I'm not encouraging to be sourpussed or, you know, negative or not enjoy earthly things. So just that verse, known to all of us, seek first the kingdom in all these things. And these things are needed earthly stuff. That all these things will be added to you. They can't be added to you if you have no other things. You do have to be seeking the kingdom. This passage often is taught like it's just a cure for anxiety. It's not that. Because you can't just cure anxiety about earthly things and have them acquired and learned and known a different way if you don't have kingdom things present. So it's not just a strategy about how to deal with earthly things. Kingdom things have to be present in order for these things to be added. So, but they can be added if you have the kingdom things there in place. They come in addition. And added means that the earthly things are then received. They come to us as provision from another. I think the added thing means life as gift, earthly life as gift. That not earthly life kind of according to your goal and according to your accomplishment and according to your achievement, but earthly things as gifts provided by God. And then on that path, those things that get added can be enjoyed. Enjoyed for what they are, for the needs that they meet, and also enjoyed because they were given by a Father who cares about us, you know, and is gracious to us. Enjoyed for that reason. I think things where needed things have been added, lives where that's true, they're usually happy lives. Whether they have a great number of earthly things or bare minimum, lives where the things have been added and is received and known as gifts, they're happy lives. They are content lives. They tend to be peaceful lives. There are people, when you talk to them, you think, I'm good. They tend to be lives without anxiety. They're not anxious about what they eat, what they drink, what they're going to put on. They tend not to be that way because those things have been added by a father. So I just wanted, very simple thing, but I just wanted to get us to linger there for a second. All of us know the verse, but to know in our experience, in a sense, to be able to testify. I think there are things that you should be able to say, why is that present in your life? How did you get that? That if you were being honest, you would say, you know what? The Father added that to me. You know, I needed it. But, and he knew I needed it, so he just added it. And you say, well, what's it added to? And you say, well, I got all these big kingdom things over here. I'm seeking those and pursuing those and chasing those down and thinking about those and my mind set on them. So I got all these kingdom things, but these things that I needed, they were added and makes me happy. I'm not anxious about it. It's kind of like a bird. I'm content with what's been given. Content with the gifts that the Father's poured out. And it has a beauty like the lily. I didn't manufacture it. I didn't create it for myself. It's not the life that I built for myself. It's not I'm a self-made man or anything like that or done well for myself. It's just what the Father has done for me. And it's the beauty and the glory of that which has been given. That earthly things, our lives, our earthly lives should have that kind of feel about them. So I hope that's not meant to beat you up somehow. It's meant to release you into a Father's care who really does care for us and knows that we need our earthly things. And if he does it for sparrows, how much more valuable are you than sparrows? So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. The last song that we sang, Jordan, let's just sing it again, which was Psalm 23, of course. But I want you to think in connection to this verse about seeking first the kingdom and things being added, that first line of the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or as the song puts it, I won't be wanting. That's not very American, is it? I mean, the American society, if you follow the election returns, which candidate is going to give the people what they want? Right? And the one who pleased the most people as that candidate, I think, is going to give me what I want. I'm going to vote for him. The whole consumer mentality that we live in is, these are my wants. Who can satisfy them and how can I get them satisfied? For anybody to say, I won't be wanting, is either a lie or you're not a very good American. And yet, the Lord is my shepherd. I won't be wanting. I mean, do you dare say that? You know, about what you need, the food that you need, the clothes that you need, the shelter over your roof, the money. Do you dare say it about the fiscal cliff? Whatever happens, I won't be wanting. I shall not want. So just in singing that part, there's like testimony. You know what? My Father adds those things to me. Not dependent on other things. I won't be wanting. My Father cares. And I'll live as life as his gift to me. And then also the last part there of surely goodness will follow me. We want to push goodness down the street in front of us, right? We want to take charge of it, make sure it comes to us, secure it for ourselves, this idea that it'll just follow me. It's like Kimmy's dog, you know, it just follows you all over, wherever you go. That type of idea, goodness. So that the Lord's provision, you don't have to, you know, take charge of it yourself, you don't have to seek it, you don't have to, it'll follow you. The Lord will make sure it follows you all the days of your life. So maybe with reference to that verse that Those who seek first the kingdom, the Father adds to them things that they need, things that the Gentiles want and eagerly seek. The Lord says, you won't be wanting. I'll make sure those things follow you all the days of your life. Don't be people of little faith, but respond in faith to the Father.